Philippians chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to draw your attention to verse number 13. I want to encourage you to note a phrase, and it's a phrase we'll be coming back to for the next few weeks as we enter into this new series. But I'd encourage you to mark this expression, "This one thing I do." Paul says in verse 13, "This one thing I do." And this morning, we begin a new series of messages entitled "One Thing, the One Resolution We All Must Make in the New Year." And for the next few weeks, I want us to begin looking at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and learn the one thing that Paul says that he tried to do in his service for the Lord. This time of year, people have a laundry list of resolutions that they make, and most statistics say that only 8 to 12% of everybody in the world who makes a New Year's resolution keeps that resolution throughout the year. Most of them fail by February. And as we think about spiritually speaking, I want us to talk about trying to learn this one thing that Paul does. Instead of taking on a list that we can't ever try to complete or something that's far too complicated, let's think instead of one thing and try to focus on doing this one thing in 2018. And that's what Paul tells us here in verse 13. He says, "This one thing I do." Now you think about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul and all that he accomplished. It's amazing that he would just say, "I only tried to do one thing in my ministry." But if you and I can grab hold of this one thing that Paul does, then it will change our lives and it will help us. And as we begin our journey this morning, I want us to look, first of all, at Paul's spiritual life before he says, "This one thing I do." Because it's important for us to be spiritually where Paul was if we're going to try to do the one thing that Paul said that he would do. And in verse number 12, he says this. He says, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Draw a line underneath that word "apprehended," if you would please, in verse 12. The spiritual condition of Paul when he says that there's this one thing I do is he says, "I was apprehended of the Lord." And that's what I want us to focus on this morning in this first message, is being apprehended of the Lord. Now, what Paul means by that is this. The word "apprehended" simply means to lay hold of or to seize or to take possession of. He says, I was laid hold of by God. He said, I was taken hold of. I was possessed by the Lord. And because I had been apprehended of Christ, I could focus on doing this one thing. And so this morning, as we begin thinking about the one thing that Paul does, let us lay the foundation of being able to do that one thing by talking about what it means to be apprehended by the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us as we enter into our study. If you're taking notes with us, the first thing I want you to make note of this morning as we think about being apprehended is the person of his apprehension. Notice, first of all, the person of his apprehension. Now, notice what Paul says. He doesn't just simply say that I've been apprehended, but he says that I've been apprehended by a person. Notice what he says here at the end of verse 12. He says, "For which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Paul says that God had apprehended him. He's literally saying that I've been captured by Christ. Just as a police officer would go out after a criminal or in pursuit of someone, and they would lay hold on that person and they would put them in custody. They would apprehend him. He said, that's what God has done to me. He said, the Lord Jesus Christ has apprehended me. He said, he's captured my life. And you say, well, Pastor, what does it mean to be apprehended of the Lord? Well, in Paul's life, and I believe in our life, it means two things. First of all, it means that Christ cleansed him. Number one, Christ cleansed him. Prior to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, the Apostle Paul was a very religious man. We're not going to take time to do so. You can do it at home. But if you go back even in Philippians chapter 3, earlier on in this passage, Paul begins to describe himself and his attributes as a religious man. He said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He said, I was blameless as far as keeping the law. Paul was a very active man religiously. Paul, to make it in our common vernacular today, Paul would have been somebody who most likely held a position in some denomination. He would have been somebody who would have been a tenured pastor. He would have been somebody who people went to for counsel and went to for advice. He was a man that everybody looked at as though this is a very religious man. But despite being a religious man, he was still a lost man. He actually, when he meets the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, you know where he's going? He's going to persecute the church. He's going to persecute those who are serving this man named Jesus. And so when he meets Christ, Christ cleanses him. Christ introduces himself to him and he says, Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks? Meaning I've been touching you, I've been prodding you about following me. He says, why do you keep resisting that? And in that day on the Damascus Road, Saul gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and he cleansed him. He washed him clean of his sins because he accepted him as his Savior. The person who apprehended Paul was Christ and Christ cleansed him, but he not only cleansed him, but I want you to notice the second thing. Secondly, I want you to see that Christ captivated him. Christ captivated him. He said, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, listen to how Paul describes what God has done in his life in verse 12. He says, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. This is Paul saying that. This is not God saying, I apprehended him. This is Paul saying, I was apprehended of God. God has taken hold of me. And you say, well, preacher, what are you trying to get at? What I'm trying to get at is this. Christ not only cleansed Paul on the Damascus Road, but he captivated his life. It means that Paul at that moment determined that he was going to give his life wholly and completely to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. What we see on the Damascus Road and what we see in Paul's conversion and what we see in Paul's testimony here in Philippians 3 is what it truly means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. When Christ saves a soul, a life is changed. As the old country preacher once put it, the devil can't move out and the Lord move in without a change taking place. Everything's going to be different. And in Paul's life, he was not only cleansed by Christ, but he was captivated by Christ. Now, can I share something with you on my heart as a minister of almost 20 years and as a pastor? It grieves me in our society today. The amount of people who claim to know Jesus Christ as Savior, but have absolutely zero desire to serve Him, to study His Word, to be involved in trying to reach other people, to give their life to Him. They don't want to be in church. They don't want any part of it. But yet when you go talk to them, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? You say, oh yeah, yeah, I've been saved. There's something wrong there, folks. The reality is when God has moved into your heart and when you put your faith and trust in Him, you want to serve Him. God didn't have to twist Paul's arm to try to serve him. But rather, there was a change that took place. And what I see in Paul's life is that he was not only cleansed by Christ, but he was captivated by Him. He wanted to know Him. He wanted to serve Him. And he wanted to give his life completely and wholly to Him. And so as we think this morning about trying to accomplish the one thing that Paul did, we first have to ask ourselves, have we been apprehended by Christ? Has there been a time when Christ cleansed you of your sins because you've accepted Him as Savior? But not only that, are you captivated by Christ? Do you think about, do you want to, is there a desire deep down in your heart to serve Him? Now look, you say, well, preacher, I know I've been saved, but I struggle with that. I'm not saying that if you don't have a desire to serve Him this morning that you're lost. I'm just saying that there ought to be a desire in your heart this morning somewhere to serve the Lord if you know Him as Savior. That's all I'm trying to say. But as we look at Paul's life, he said that there was a person who apprehended me in his name. Was Jesus Christ. But notice the second thing this morning. We not only see the person of his apprehension, but secondly, I want you to see the purpose of his apprehending. Secondly, we see the purpose of his apprehending. Now let's go back to verse number 12 and see what Paul says. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, we've got to understand this verse, we've got to work from the bottom and work our way back. So at the very last thing that Paul says in verse 12 is this. He says, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Meaning that God has gotten a hold of him. He says, the Lord has captured me. But then he moves back up and we work our way back towards the top of the verse. And he's telling us, he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He says, Christ has captured me. He said, God's apprehended me. And he said, my life is about trying to apprehend that for which I was apprehended. Meaning, I'm trying to catch whatever it is that God has for me because he caught me. Does that make sense? What he's saying is he said that I was not apprehended of God for just because he wanted to apprehend me. He's saying I was apprehended of God because God has a purpose for my life. That's what it means when he says to apprehend that. Draw a little box around the word that, if you would, in verse 12. That is personal. It's personal for me and it's personal for you. When he says that I want to apprehend that, he's saying I want to capture God's purpose for my life. Do you know that God has a purpose for your life? See, somehow in our society today, we've got this idea that the only people that God has a purpose and a plan for are those who are in full-time Christian ministry or those who are professional Christian. I'm not a professional Christian this morning. I've served the Lord Jesus Christ long before I was in ministry, long before God called me to preach. And since God called me to preach, I've been serving him. And if I wasn't pastoring a church, if I wasn't on staff at a church, I'd still be serving him. I'm not a professional Christian. I'm just a Christian. And the reality is today that God has a plan and a will for all of his children, not just those who are preaching or those who are leading singing or those who are playing instruments or those who are teaching Sunday school or whatever somebody may be doing. God has a purpose for your life. And what Paul says is he says, God captured my soul. And he said, I want to capture whatever it is and accomplish whatever it is that God has laid out for me. There's a reason that he has captured me. And there's two things I want to point out very simply about the purpose of Paul's apprehending. Number one, I want you to see that it was specific. It was specific. When God apprehended Paul on the Damascus Road, he had a specific thing that he wanted Paul to accomplish. In Paul's life, it was to be a missionary to the Gentiles. In Paul's life, it was to plant churches. It was to train ministers. It was to write the epistles in several of the books of the New Testament. In Paul's life, he had a purpose. And that purpose was specific. It was laid out specifically for the Apostle Paul. Everything in Paul's life leading up to that point in time, God subconsciously allowed to happen so that he could be equipped to accomplish whatever it is that he had for him. Do you realize that everything that's going on in your life has been ordained of God? Everything, your parents, where you live, where you grow up, where you went to school, who you're friends with, even where you went to college with, God has had a hand in all of that. And the reality is he's trying to equip you so that you can accomplish the will that he has for your life. Because he has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Let me illustrate it to you this way. We have a lot of hunters in this area, do we not? When I was a little boy, I was born to Ernie and Susan Wilson. And my grandfather was Clifton Wilson, Bill Wilson. Well, I was born in that family. I had nothing to do with that. I mean, I wasn't in heaven going, all right, I picked this family. I had nothing to do with that. I just showed up one day. And there I was, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And I grew up. And because my grandfather liked to hunt, my dad liked to hunt. And you know what they did with me when I got old enough? They took me hunting. So they instilled in me a desire and the ability to hunt all because of something that I had nothing to do with. But now let me show you how God works. When God looked down from heaven, he said, okay, on June 30th, Scott's going to be born here. But in 2017, Scott's going to be pastoring First Baptist Church of Marshville. And Scott's going to be pastoring a lot of people in that area that like to hunt. Stay with me now. So God in His omniscience says, I'm going to put Scott in a family where he's able to do that so that when he gets there, he's got something that's naturally, it's a natural bridge between me and the men and women that he wants me to minister to. You understand? It's because God has a plan. God has the same thing in your life. Maybe you've got a business background. Maybe you've got a farming background. Maybe you've got whatever your background is. Whatever it is, it's not just there by random happenstance. It's because God allowed it to be there because He has a purpose and He has a plan for your life. And whatever He's allowed into your life, He's allowed it there so that He can use it for His glory to accomplish the very specific purpose that He has for your life. His purpose for apprehending was not only specific, but His purpose was significant. What are we on here? Am I not moving forward? All right, there you go. Can you write that down now? Maybe I went to the wrong one. It was significant. His purpose was not only specific, but His purpose was significant. You say, preacher, what do you mean it was significant? Well, it was vital to the furtherance of the gospel. Imagine this morning if the Apostle Paul would have said, Lord, thank you for saving me, but I ain't got time to hunt. I ain't got time to go be persecuted. I don't want to be in shipwrecks. I don't want to write. I don't like to write at all. I don't want to write. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to write these epistles. Think how much less we would know about God if Paul had said, I'm not interested. You see, it wasn't just that God had a specific plan, but it was a significant plan. It's important. And the thing that sometimes we fail to realize in our own lives is we say, well, what's the big deal if I serve God? There is a big deal that you serve God because there are souls that weigh in the balance. There are people that God wants you to reach, that it's in His divine plan for you to reach, that He's put in your pathway that nobody else can reach but you. And if you decide I want to take off or I'm not interested, then guess what? Those souls may never come to know Christ. You say, oh, preacher, you can't prove that. Well, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but write this reference down. Write Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Read it when you get home. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 19. Notice what God says to the prophet. He says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. That's His responsibility. God says, I've made you a watchman. He says, I'm going to allow you to see things before they actually happen. He said, I'm going to put you up in a high place and you may see the enemy coming before anybody else knows. He said, I've made you a watchman. And He says, I've not only made you a watchman, but He said, I want you to hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. He says, so basically, here's the way it works. I'm going to tell you something that I want you to tell the people. And when I tell you, all your job is to tell the people. But notice what He says here. He says, verse 18, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. So here's what he says. He says, if I tell you that I want you to warn the wicked man that he's going to die and that he's going to die in his iniquity, and you don't tell him that I said that, then the wicked man's going to die. But notice what else he says. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Did you get what he said? He says, I put you as a watchman. And he said, all your job is to take what you hear from me and tell other people. And he says, if I tell you to tell the wicked man that he's going to die in his iniquity and you don't tell him, then he's going to die in his iniquity. But wait a minute, here's where you become accountable, because he'll die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require at your hand. That's where the expression, their blood is on my hands, comes from. But notice what else he says. He says in verse 19, yet if thou warn the wicked, Basically, if you do what I've told you to do, and he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Basically, what God is saying is this. I've given you a job to do. And if you don't do that job, I'm going to hold you accountable. But if you do that job, whether they listen or whether they don't, you've delivered your soul. You have obeyed me. And that's what I'm trying to tell you about the fact that God's got a purpose for your life. And that purpose is specific, but it's not just specific, but it is so significant. We've all got to do and labor to accomplish the thing that God has given us to do for our life. And that's what Paul says here in verse 12 back in Philippians 3. He says, I want to apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. He said, I want to capture that, whatever that is, because Christ has captured me. So we've seen the purpose of his apprehension, the purpose of his apprehending. But thirdly and finally this morning, I want us to see the plan to apprehend. Thirdly, I want us to see the plan to apprehend. Paul tells us he's been apprehended by a person. And he says, I've been apprehended for a purpose, but now he tells us how he plans to apprehend or accomplish God's purpose in his life. In verse 12, he says this. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. The first step to apprehending is Paul says, I surrender to the Lord. He says, I surrender to the Lord. If you want to accomplish God's plan in your life, that plan that's specific and that's significant, the first step to accomplishing that is to surrender to the Lord. That's what Paul says. He says in verse 12, he says, but I follow after. He didn't say I run ahead. He says, I follow after. You know, one of the hardest things to do in life is to follow. It's hard to follow. It's hard to follow at work, isn't it? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of you have ever griped about your boss? Now you think about that for a minute. How many of you ever griped about your principal? How many of you ever griped about a police officer pulling you over? Well, I wasn't going but 15 over. I mean, it's 15 miles an hour in the school zone and school's in session. I know, but good night, I'm late. Can't believe that guy pulled me over. Can you believe he gave me a ticket? You know why that is? We have a problem naturally with authority. All of us do. It's hard for us to follow. But to follow means this. We've got to surrender. To follow the rules, we've got to surrender. And whatever it is, whether it's in your workplace and the boss says, I want you here and I want you, you can't leave to this time, you have to surrender yourself to that and say, well, I'm going to be here at this time and I'm not going to leave to that time. In school, they say, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do that. If you're going to not get in trouble, then you've got to surrender to that. It's the same thing in serving the Lord. We've got to surrender our life to Him and say, Lord, it's not what I want. It's not what I desire for my life, but it's what you want for me. It's what you want for my family. And I realize that you have a plan for my life, and I want to accomplish it, so I surrender myself to accomplish whatever it is that you have for me because I want to capture, I want to apprehend your plan for my life. Paul says his plan to apprehend was that he followed, but not only was it that he followed, but there's a second part to his plan. He says, I study the Lord. He says, I not only surrender to the Lord, but secondly, he says, I study the Lord. Notice what he says earlier on in this chapter in verse number 10. He says, that I may know him. He says, that's what I want to do. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. He said, I want to know him. He said, I'm going to study God. He said, so that I can know his will, so that I can know him, so that I can represent him to the world. We are in need today in America. We are in desperate need for some men and women who say, I will study him. I want to know him. I want to know what he's about. I want to know truth. And beloved, I can promise you this, as your pastor, I will never intentionally lead you astray. I never will. I'll never try to get up and preach a sermon, a Sunday school lesson, or even have a conversation. And I will never, ever try to tell you something that I believe is wrong and wrongly interpreted from this book. But I'm a man, and I make mistakes. And as much as I'm striving, as much as I'm laboring to know Him and to know His Word, I'm human. I'm fallible. That's why it's important that you study Him and not just listen to how I've studied about Him. See, so much of what people in our society know, so much of what people in the Bible Belt know about God is not because they've studied it and they've learned it. It's because they've heard it and they repeat it. Most of what most Christian people know, I'm talking about good Christian people, it's not because they've studied it themselves. It's because they've heard a pastor say it so many times that now they can repeat it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm saying is this. If God's going to accomplish what He has for your life, you have to go deeper. And it's my responsibility, and it's the responsibility of the leadership of this church to be able to have opportunities to equip you and to help you so that you know how to go deeper, so that you can study, so that you know what to look for. But there's one thing that I can't do, our church council can't do, our deacons can't do, your Sunday school teacher can't do, and that's we cannot make you desire to know Him. We can't do it. We can have the best program laid out in the world for you to know the Bible backwards and forwards. We can't put that desire in you. Only God can. And as we think about 2018, if we're going to accomplish the one thing that Paul says that he does, we've got to be apprehended of God. We've got to be cleansed. We've got to know Him as Savior. But we've got to be captivated by Him. To where we don't just serve Him on Sunday, and we don't just serve Him on Wednesday, but yet on Monday morning we wake up and think, Lord, strengthen me today. Help me to live for You today. Lord, how do You want me to accomplish Your will today in my life? That's the Christian life. And may God help us to be apprehended of God. Paul said, there was a time in my life when God captured me. He said, He captured me. And he said, my life is spent trying to capture His will for my life. And the way I'm trying to capture His will for my life is by surrendering to Him and by studying Him. I want to apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. And I hope you do too. May God help us as we go into the new year to have a heart that says, Lord, I want to go further than I've ever gone with You. I want to walk closer than I've ever walked to You. I want to be deeper than I've ever been with You. Lord, I want You to use my life in ways that You've never used it before. May God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.